From FloydCountyRecord.com and KFLP, this is On the Record. I'm Alex Striggers. And after another year of pandemic life, we're still right in the middle of it as we prepare to move into 2022. We'll look back on the year and take a look at some of the major developments in the fight against COVID-19 in today's program. First, let's go to our Tony St. James, who spoke with the director of the CDC on Wednesday for an update. Tony?
Today, our special guest is Dr. Rochelle Walensky. She's the director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Welcome back.
Good to be back with you, Tony.
I got to looking. It was 23 months ago that the CDC confirmed COVID-19 in the U.S. Where would you put us today, knowing where we've been the last 23 months?
Yeah, well, things are moving quickly. Certainly today we have demonstrated that we have about 73% of our cases here in the United States now have this Omicron variant, and we're doing a lot to combat it. But the most important thing that I can say right now, even compared to a year ago, is that we have the tools to combat it. And those tools really mean getting vaccinated if you're not yet vaccinated, getting boosted if you're eligible to be boosted, and then certainly practicing those prevention measures that we know work, including masking. And I say that really now because we know that this Omicron variant is so much more transmissible than some of our prior variants.
And when we talk about the variants, again, these are variants. How does this compare as far as, I hate to use the word deadly here because obviously all of them are deadly, but is this one as potent as maybe the Delta?
Yeah, so when we think about these variants, much of what we talk about is, are they more transmissible? And they absolutely are, which means we expect to see more cases than we have potentially with other variants. How severe are they? How severe is the disease that you get with it? And then how do our vaccines and our therapeutics hold up against them? So to the question of disease severity, we're starting to get data from places that have more Omicron than we did earlier on, places like South Africa and the UK, that there may be less hospitalization associated with Omicron. So that would be really terrific news. But the caution that I want to say there is that if we have a lot of cases, we will still have a lot of hospitalizations, even if it's less severe, just by the sheer volume of cases that we have. And then maybe one last word with regard to how our vaccines work. We're doing a lot of work now. We know that variants that have more mutations need more immune protection. And that's why right now we're really asking that people who are eligible to be boosted get boosted. Because while we may see breakthrough infections associated with the Omicron variant, what we do know is that if you're both vaccinated and boosted, you are much less likely to have severe disease or even death associated with the Omicron.
And you talked about the therapeutic side, just getting the announcement of the Pfizer antiviral pill that has been approved. How does that work into this?
That's great news, another important tool in our armamentarium. The Pfizer pill was just authorized today, and it looks like it will be used really important for people who are at high risk of severe disease, our most vulnerable populations with underlying comorbidities. But I also want to emphasize that the most important thing that we can do to prevent severe disease is to prevent getting infected to begin with. And the best way to do that is to get vaccinated and to get boosted. And then, of course, if we need it, because there are infections, we have these incredible tools now that are starting to be authorized, like the Paxlovid, that will help us against severe infection if we get it.
Thank you so much for your time, for the update, and we wish you the best this holiday season.
Thank you so much. Please stay safe, everyone.
Again, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, On the Record.
Thanks, Tony. And you just heard in that interview about an antiviral pill that can now be used to treat COVID-19. That major development in the fight against COVID-19 broke on Wednesday when the FDA announced that it's given the green light for the first ever at-home treatment for the coronavirus. Regulators authorized Pfizer's antiviral pill, which they're calling Paxlovid, for high-risk COVID-19 patients aged 12 and older. The drug must be prescribed early in the course of the disease, shortly after the first symptoms appear and a positive test is obtained. One of the pill's primary advantages is that it can easily be taken at home. All the previously authorized treatments require a trip to a clinic to receive an injection or an IV infusion. Trials show that the drug cuts hospitalizations and deaths from the disease by 89%. The pill has also shown to be effective against the Omicron variant in laboratory tests, according to the company. Pfizer says that the pill works by targeting an enzyme that the coronavirus needs to replicate. That particular enzyme has not been mutated in the Omicron variant, which federal officials now say is the dominant strain of the virus in the United States. The U.S. government will purchase 10 million courses of treatment of Paxlovid in 2022.
We got good news today with the authorization of Pfizer's antiviral. Merck's pill, if authorized, along with Pfizer's newly authorized pill, add oral treatment options to our nation's medicine cabinet.
That's White House COVID-19 response coordinator Jeff Zients speaking at a briefing on Wednesday. Here's what else he had to say about COVID-19 therapeutics.
As soon as emerging science showed the promise of these antivirals, we acted quickly and aggressively to pre-purchase 10 million treatment courses of Pfizer and 3 million courses of Merck. From Merck, by end of January, we anticipate about 3 million treatment courses available to send to states if FDA authorizes. The Pfizer team has a very promising and now authorized treatment, a pill that dramatically reduces the risk of hospitalizations and death for those at risk. We've purchased 10 million courses, more than anyone else in the world. According to Pfizer, the complex chemistry involved in creating the active ingredient in the pill means production takes about 6 to 8 months. So supply of this product will ramp up over the next several months. Knowing that these pills take time to manufacture, Pfizer continues to increase their production plans. And now that the pill is authorized, we'll have discussions to explore how we can help them improve their manufacturing capacity even further by providing any resources needed. We will have 265,000 treatment courses of Pfizer available in January, with monthly totals of pills ramping up across the year, and all 10 million treatment courses delivered by late summer. As quickly as Pfizer gets the pills manufactured and delivered, we will immediately provide them to states and jurisdictions for distribution. Just as we've done with vaccines and monoclonal antibody treatments, we will ensure equity is at the center of antiviral distribution. We are not only urging states to ensure equity in their own distribution plans, but we are also distributing antivirals directly to community health centers across the country. This will help ensure these life-saving antivirals are available to the most vulnerable communities and hard-hit populations across the country. In closing, as we face Omicron, the nation's medicine cabinet of treatments gives us more options to protect the American people. It's yet another reason this moment is much different than March 2020. We have tools to keep people safe, and we will continue using them to do so.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, also spoke at the briefing and gave an update on the Omicron variant. He stressed the importance of getting a booster shot.
No doubt, this is a highly transmissible infection. These are the latest data that we get from the CDC about the Omicron variant that is sequenced in the United States isolates. It is now about 73%+. And speaking to governors from other regions of the country, in some, they're even as high as 80 to 90%. So there is no doubt that we are dealing with a highly transmissible virus for the reason, as Jeff mentioned just a moment ago, that we expect that there will be continuing to have a substantial increase in cases. Next slide. Now we get to the idea of severity. These are data from our South African colleagues who have clearly been showing now in conversations we've had and now in this recent publication, that in fact it appears that in the context of South Africa, there is a decrease in the severity compared to Delta, both in the relationship and ratio between hospitalizations and the number of infections, the duration of hospital stay, and the need for supplemental oxygen therapy. Recently, literally yesterday, there was another paper that came out from Scotland, which appears to validate and verify the data that are in South Africa. This is good news. However, we must wait to see what happens in our own population, which has its own demographic considerations. I would point out that even if you have a diminution in severity, if you have a much larger number of individual cases, the fact that you have so many more cases might actually obviate the effect of it being less severe. And that's one of the reasons why the president, in his remarks yesterday, spoke about how we are going to supplement the capability of hospitals to respond to the possibility that there might be a run on the need for hospitalization. Next slide. Now let's talk about some of the immune evasion. We've mentioned this in different briefings before, but just to reiterate, there's no doubt that there's a marked reduction in neutralizing activity against Omicron when you look at the two-dose mRNA vaccines, when you compare Omicron to earlier variants such as Delta. However, and here again, why we emphasize the importance of booster shots. The anti-Omicron activity is about 20 to 40-fold higher in sera from boosted vaccinees versus the peak in individuals who had a two-dose vaccine. This is validated by the clinical data, which shows that the vaccine efficacy, as we all know from previous studies, of a symptomatic infection of a two-dose mRNA wanes over time. However, there's a moderate to high effectiveness, about 75%, seen in the early period after a booster dose, and very likely higher when it comes to hospitalization and severe disease. A quick word now on something that Jeff mentioned is namely the treatments that are available. Unfortunately, but understandably, with the degree of mutations that we have with Omicron, some of the monoclonal antibodies shown on the slide here very likely will not work against Omicron. And those are shown in the first two under monoclonal antibody. Fortunately, the GSK Vir product, satravimab, looks like it is well positioned to be used as a treatment against Omicron. And then the AZ product also is likely. Small molecule antivirals are available now. You heard the recent approval of an EUA of Paxlovid. Of note and underappreciated is remdesivir is already fully approved and is available in a 3-day course, which in a recent study showed to dramatically diminish the need for hospitalization. Guidelines on this will be now re-examined by the NIH Guidelines Committee, and you'll be hearing more about recommendations how to utilize these.
And now just a quick update on COVID-19 numbers in our area. So far, across the state of Texas, since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen 3,684,476 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 74,003 fatalities. In Floyd County, 682 confirmed cases of COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic and 40 fatalities. Crosby County has seen 648 confirmed cases and 40 fatalities. Hill County's had 8,291 confirmed cases and 201 fatalities since the beginning of the pandemic. And in Lubbock County, 69,044 cases and 1,087 deaths since the start of the pandemic. And those numbers are accurate as of December 22nd. That's our program for today. I'm Alex Striggers. This is On the Record.